Begin Podfix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
This is Bewilderbeasts, an infotainment show dedicated to inspiring curiosity for all ages by investigating the ways animals intersect at humanity. I am not a historian, an ethologist, a researcher, a scientist, a zoologist, a trained audio engineer, or an expert in, well, anything. Y'all, I'm lucky if I can remember to put my clean laundry in the dryer before it gets funky. And while I make every effort to present things as accurately as I can with a fun flair, I'm going to mess up. And that's okay. I hope I've given you a nice place to jump off from on your own adventures into curiosity. Or at the very least, I've given you the key to win your next round of trivia. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Bewilderbeasts. I'm your host, Melissa McKee McGrath, still recording from the tiniest podcast studio closet outside of Boston, Massachusetts. Today on Bewilderbeasts, you get to hear my husband warm up on trumpet and peek-a-hoo. Okay, let's go. So bonus number two, and I'm guessing of all the episodes I've covered, this one might actually end up getting some, well, actually mail, as I'm not a Pokemon aficionado. A bunch of rightfully angry 7-year-olds and a few 40-year-olds? Well, I'm just waiting. So sorry in advance. I'm really trying. Thank you for supporting the show. And even if I'm wrong, thank you so much for supporting this, whatever it is. So let's do this thing. Pikachu, I choose you. So there are a few news stories going on about now, and I'm recording this in late July 2021, about how the most famous Pokemon, Pikachu, is based on a real animal. A real animal that survives on yak poop. Which makes me question the whole, quote, feed candy to evolve weirdness that comes from this show. Evolution doesn't happen to an individual, and yak dung is not candy. But we'll get into it in a minute. Let me back this train up because truthfully, I'm a terrible representative of 80s and 90s culture because I didn't know at all about pokey things until I had a kid who got into Pokemon hardcore. Thanks, Netflix. She saw her very first episode and she was in so deep, we had to catch up. And then because timing, the Pokemon Go craze hit, keeping her pokey thing fascination strong. At the time, she was 4 and over the moon. So we were also over the moon because when you have a kiddo who doesn't go on walks with the family because we live in a city and cities are hard to foster exploration, I mean, there's only so many times that you can pass by the flock of pigeons or go to the Dunkin' Donuts before saying, I'm good. Having a game like Pokemon Go really helped inspire kids to go out and explore our area. Honestly, it helped inspire a lot of middle-aged people to go out and explore their areas too. So my kiddo had a target. She had a thing that she could focus on and do. Get to the Pokestop, get Pokeballs, catch them all, and most importantly, get excited to go on walks. I am here for all of this. So when the stories came out this year about Pikachu is really based on a real animal, really, I thought, wait, this is news? In my kiddo's encyclopedia of the over 800 Pokemon, because that encyclopedia exists, they all seem to have a loose root in real animals. Here are some examples. Caterpie. It's not what you find in your litter box. It is a cartoony caterpillar that evolves into Metapod, which looks like a chrysalis. It's right there, guys. And then it evolves again into Butterfree, which is, you'll be shocked, a butterfly. So I do want to take a quick minute, though, to discuss one thought I had. I've had to explain numerous times to the point where I get the exasperated eye roll that only a child can give their parent, a deep sigh, and the patented, I know, Mom, of a kid who has heard this thing from a parent way too often. In Pokemon, creatures evolve when a trainer feeds them candy. the more candy, then they evolve again. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Ah, okay. So I'm really curious to see if any biologist teachers are out there and if they find it really hard to teach evolution if the fundamental example is become a trainer, feed candy, evolution happens. It's not. That's how we got Puggles. Although I've met Puggles and I've also wondered if there was a trainer somewhere who just fed a dog candy and then just kept evolving them. Anyway, but all joking aside, evolution is a process that takes time, centuries. Giraffes evolved to have longer and longer necks because over time, the shorter-necked beasts found it harder and harder to get food and they just died. The genes for long necks prevailed and continued to pass on to the little giraffes. Sure, mutations do still happen and sometimes those mutations are beneficial. But sometimes evolution has ideas. And not unlike that one uncle everyone has at Thanksgiving who also has ideas. Super not great. See, in this giraffe example, dwarf giraffes are a thing. And though they are super cute, they are not gaining any benefit. They are too short to reach the leaves. And the two known dwarf giraffes that scientists have discovered in the last few years have not been spotted in, well, more years. And they're presumed dead. Unless they have also developed an ability to dig holes and become part of an underground giraffe mafia where they are thriving. Then hey, great move, evolution, but this is doubtful. For more on dwarf giraffes, see episode 23, Dwarf Giraffes and Two Danny DeVitos. But back to the Pikachu-spiration. The OG Pokemon, Ash's best bro, Pikachu. Pikachu is commonly considered to be inspired by a mouse. But the creator of Pikachu puts that myth to bed. Come for the weird animal stories, stay for the Pokemon facts. I never thought it would come to this, but here we are. Pikachu is based on a squirrel. The illustrator, Atsuko Nishida, said that she thought that squirrels were super cute. She loved their tail and their fluffy bodies. So she turned the iconic squirrel tail into a lightning bolt, put lightning on Pikachu's cheeks, because, you know, when squirrels eat, their cheeks get all puffy, and then there you go. Animals inspiring imagination and creativity at a card game that after 20 years after it hit the scene is still causing kids and, yes, grown adults to stand in line for cards, video games, and as the mom of a kid who loves all things Pokemon, I will hunt down any Pikachu sweatshirt or PJ onesie until she is over this. And if you want to take a bit of a tangent, do yourself a favor and look up on any video service you can find the phrase, Germans can't say squirrel. But there is a real-life animal named after the Pikachu. So pikas are a small mammal in North America and in Asia. Some of these happen to live on mountainous plateaus in Tibet and in China. But unlike other small mammals, they don't migrate to warmer climes in the winter. The brutal winter. Pikas are 5,000 meters above sea level, 3/5 the height of Mount Everest, 2.5 times as long as the Kentucky Derby track, and 5 times as long as Angel Falls, which is the highest waterfall in the world. And there aren't exactly a lot of berries available in the deep, dark depths of wintertime that far up. You need to conserve energy if you're a pika, right? Because taking the effort to move around and find things to eat all consumes precious, precious, precious energy. Plus staying warm when it's commonly 22 degrees below zero Fahrenheit and 30 degrees below zero Celsius takes a lot of energy. Or you could just use the tools you have. And in the pika's case, yak poop, leavings, dung, droppings, gambled and lost, waste, or poop. Which, pretty convenient given that it has food that yaks can't totally digest, and some water in it, which would otherwise be frozen solid and would take a lot of effort for pikas to get. So suck it up, Pikachu, get a poopsicle, which is basically candy, right? and then evolve into something that might be able to hibernate and sleep through this long, devastating, impossible winter. Hey, Pika, wake me up when the brushberries emerge. And there's one other way in which Pikachu has inspired real life. There is an Australian possum who is gaining attention for its unique color of fur, and it's prompting it to be called the Pikachu Possum. The bright yellow color comes from the animal's genetic mutation, and this mutation is resulting in lower levels of melanin. And if you think about humans, we have a varying degree of melanin too. I am pasty. Very, very, very white. I have a very low level of melanin. The more melanin you have, the more dark your skin appears. In this particular situation, the Pikachu possum has a lower level of melanin compared to normal Australian opossums. So if you Google Pikachu possum, you will see a bright yellow brush-tailed possum that looks very similar to the iconic Pokemon character. He's bright yellow. He's got a little pink nose. He's got little beady black eyes. He's awesome. And of course, they've named him Pikachu because what else are you going to name him? But he is presently living at the Boronia Veterinary Clinic in Melbourne, Australia. He apparently arrived by himself, but his caretaker said that it's likely that the five-month-old baby fell off of his mom's back. Why is that a big deal? Well, because of his unusual color. They can't really release him back into the wild because of the yellow color being very, very visible to predators at night. Possums tend to come out at night, as do their predators, like owls and other birds of prey. So if this little Pikachu went out, he would just get eaten like that. So, Pikachu, the possum, is going to be staying at the animal hospital and will probably be sent to a rehabilitation center or to a wildlife preservation area. And he's not the first golden possum to be discovered. Apparently, there are pockets of them in Victoria, Australia, and they're trying to keep the location of these animals secret so that way people don't go out and literally try to collect them all. So thank you for supporting Bewilderbeasts on Patreon. This is just for you, so thank you, thank you, thank you. If there are topics that you would be interested in hearing about on the podcast, know of any historical animals who changed the world, animals who help humans, or other unusually colored Pokemon-inspired animals, please send them in. You can email bewilderbeastpod@gmail.com, bewilderedpod on Twitter, DM or voice text for children and adults who just don't like to type anymore on BewilderBeastPod on Facebook or lurk at BewilderBeast on Instagram. I'm Melissa McHugh McGrath, author of Considerations for the City Dog. Are you getting a dog? Live near other people? Want to know how to keep dogs happy while on leashes or while you go back to work? Consider buying Considerations for the City Dog. I'm also, funny enough, the creator and host of this podcast. Now go get curious. I got today's information from WDSU.com. They had a cool article titled, Pikachu, Is That You? IFL Science, because as always, IFL Science, TheVerge.com, LiveScience.com, GameRant.com, because, you know, Pokemon, and Wikipedia on the history of Pokemon. Okay, so I thought Pokemon was created in the 70s, but it was just 1996. I was a sophomore in high school. Oh, the 90s. The only things that are still as popular back then as now are Pokemon and Robert Downey Jr. Everything else, including belly shirts and high-waisted jeans, are... Wait, what? Oh, I'm just getting a text. Those are back too? Really? All right, well, carry on then. Just have fun. Intro music is Dan Leibowitz, and interstitial music is by MK2. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share with your curious friends. You know, all the things every other podcast tells you to do. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you after you catch them all, or next week, whenever.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Podfix Network. Discover more Audible gems like this at podfixnetwork.com. Make sure to catch up-to-the-minute network shenanigans by following at Podfix on Twitter, official_Podfix on Instagram, at Podfix Network on Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to Podfix Presents wherever you choose to find podcasts. The Podfix Network, artist owned and loved.